The most important lyric poet of 20th century Germany was paradoxically born in Prague. And it was to the Slav world, with its long Catholic tradition, that the spirit of Rainer Maria Rilke was inevitably drawn. He was 25 when he declared, after his first journey to Russia, that he'd experienced there, for the first time in his life, something of a feeling of being at home and of belonging somewhere.
Russia, for me, meant reality, and at the same time the profound daily certainty that reality is something distant, something that comes with inexpressible slowness to those who have patience. Russia is the land where men are solitary, each with a world in himself, each filled with darkness, like a mountain.
The following autumn, Rilke wrote The Book of the Monastic Life, the first part of which became The Book of Hours, a cycle of 67 short verse meditations, supposedly of a Russian monk dialoguing with God.
You are the future, great dawn on the plains of eternity. You are the figure that is always being transformed and that always emerges alone from destiny, that remains neither acclaimed nor understood nor described, like a solitary forest.
From Rilke's second book of poems, which appeared in 1902, The Book of Images, comes the evocative Childhood.
The school's long stream of time and tediousness winds slowly on, through torpor, through dismay. O loneliness, O time that creeps away. Then out at last, the streets ring loud and gay, and in the big white squares the fountains play, and in the parks the world seems measureless, and to pass through it all in children's dress, with others, but quite otherwise than they. O wondrous time! O time that fleets away, O loneliness.
Although he spent his childhood in a comfortable house in the provinces, Rilke's family was without distinction, and the poet's reminiscences were enriched by his imagination.
And out into it all to gaze and gaze, men, women, women, men in blacks and greys, and children, brightly dressed, but differently. And here a house, and there a dog, maybe, and fear and trust changing in subtle ways. O grief uncaused, O dream, O dark amaze, O still unsounded sea. And then with bat and ball and hoop to playing in parks where the bright colours softly fade, brushing against the grown-ups without staying when ball or hoop their alien walks invade. But when the twilight comes with little swaying footsteps going home with unrejected aid, O thoughts that fade into the darkness, straying alone, afraid. And hours on end by the grey pond side, kneeling with little sailing boat and elbows bare, forgetting it because one like it stealing below the ripples, but with sails more fair, and having still to spare, to share some feeling with the small sinking face caught sight of there, childhood, winged likenesses half guessed at, wheeling, oh where, oh where.
When his parents separated, Rilke was 9, and he left Prague to live in Vienna with his mother. He was to become the perennial exile, studying law in Prague and art and literature in Munich and Berlin. Rilke was always conscious of his tendency to reverie and subjective emotionalism, and he set himself the task of correcting this. His poetry gradually became more objective, and already in the Book of Images, the transition is apparent. especially in Autumn Day, in the second edition from which this poem is taken.
Lord, it is time. The summer was so great. Impose upon the sundials now your shadows, and round the meadows let the winds rotate. Command the last fruits to incarnadine, vouchsafe to urge them on into completeness, yet two more south-like days, and that last sweetness, inveigle it into the heavy vine. He'll not build now who has no house awaiting, who's now alone for long will so remain. Sit late, read, write long letters, and again return to restlessly perambulating the avenues of parks where leaves downrain.
But Rilke is a supremely spiritual poet, and in two poems on the Annunciation, the treatment is highly original. The first is Annunciation, Words of the Angel.
You are not nearer God than we. He's far from everyone. And yet your hands most wonderfully reveal his benison. From women's sleeves none ever grew so ripe, so shimmeringly. I am the day. I am the dew. You, lady, are the tree. Pardon now my long journey's done. I had forgot to say what he who sat as in the sun, grand in his gold array, told me to tell you, pensive one. Space has bewildered me. I am the start of what's begun. You, lady, are the tree. I spread my wings out wide and rose. The space around grew less. Your little house quite overflows with my abundant dress. But still you keep your solitude and hardly notice me. I'm but a breeze within the wood. You, lady, are the tree. The angels tremble in their choir, grow pale and separate. Never were longing and desire so vague and yet so great. Something, perhaps, is going to be that you perceived in dream. Hail to you, for my soul can see that you are ripe and teem. You lofty gate that any day may open for our good, you ear my longing songs assay, my word I know now lost its way in you as in a wood. And thus your last dream was designed to be fulfilled by me. God looked at me, he made me blind. You, lady, are the tree.
Rilke often used the image of the angel as a point of reference, as in this letter to a friend towards the end of his life.
Always, at the commencement of work, that first innocence must be reachieved. You must return to that unsophisticated spot where the angel discovered you when he brought you the first binding message. If the angel deigns to come, it will be because you have convinced him, not with tears, but with your humble resolve to be always beginning, to be a beginner.
Rilke believes strongly in being an eternal beginner and was never satisfied for long with any stage of achievement he'd reached, however high. He was also determined that every poem should be, however personal, not just an utterance, but a thing made, the original meaning of the Greek word poema. Here's an extract from another Annunciation. This time to the shepherds.
Look up, you men, men at the fire there, you familiar with the sky's unbounded ways, star readers hither. Look, I am a new uprising star. My being is one blaze, so filled with light the firmament is too small now to hold me and my powerful rays, for all its depth. Do let my splendor throw its beams right into you. Oh, if you only knew how even now upon each gazing face the future shines. Much will be taking place in that clear light. A new thing dawns today, for which the round earth seeks to grow more wide. God feels his way into a virgin's womb. I am the ray thrown by her inwardness, which is your guide. Thank you.
In his progress towards more objective writing, Rilke found more mature expression in his collection of new poems, from which Going Blind is taken.
She'd sat just like the others there at tea, and then I'd seemed to notice that her cup was being a little differently picked up. She'd smiled once. It had almost hurt to see. And when eventually they rose and talked, and slowly, and as chance led, were dispersing through several rooms there, laughing and conversing, I noticed her. Behind the rest she walked subduedly, like someone who presently will have to sing, and with so many listening. On those bright eyes of hers, with pleasure glistening, played as on pools, an outer radiancy. She followed slowly, and she needed time, as though some long ascent were not yet by, and yet as though when she had ceased to climb, she would no longer merely walk, but fly.
In these poems, writes Rilke's translator, J.B. Leichmann, there's a wonderful balance between objectivity and subjectivity, between inwardness and outwardness, between French clarity and elegance and German intensity. Incidentally, Rilke's happiest years were spent in France, and it was there that his poetry became most popular. Rilke spent his last years in Switzerland, where he died in 1926. His life had been dedicated to poetry, and in his poetry he aimed at sublimating everything to the central theme of man's struggle for spiritual vision and clarity. As one critic writes, when he finally achieves a standpoint of complete objectivity and realism, the intense, all-pervasive spirituality of his poetry has few rivals. Let's end the programme with another extract from New Poems, this time The Olive Garden.
And still he climbed, and through the grey leaves thrust, quite grey and lost in the grey olive lands, and laid his burning forehead full of dust, deep in the dustiness of burning hands. After all, this, and this then was the end. Now I am to go, while I am going blind. And oh, why wilt thou have me still contend, thou art, whom I myself no longer find? No more I find thee, in myself no tone of thee, nor in the rest, nor in this stone. I can find thee no more. I am alone. I am alone with all that human fate I undertook through thee to mitigate. Thou who art not, O shame too consummate. An angel came, those afterwards relate. Wherefore an angel? Oh, there came the night, and turned the leaves of trees indifferently, and the disciples stirred uneasily. Wherefore an angel? Oh, there came the night.
Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.